Go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. All righty. So often in our lives we get caught up on the outward things in life, meaning our outward apparel, and we focus a lot on those things. And with that being said tonight, you're going to talk about clothing. No, I'm not going to talk about your outward clothing, but I'm going to talk about some clothing that we need to put on every day of our lives. And I just titled this The Godly Apparel tonight. And so we're going to look here at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. This passage today really meant a great deal to me because I was faced with some discouragement. And normally when you're discouraged, you go to God's Word, and God's Word always is capable of lifting you up and showing you what you need to have just to get through your time of woe or time of discouragement. And so this really spoke to me today. So we're going to begin reading here in verse number 14. By the way, this probably will be my shortest message ever. And all God's people said, it's not going to happen. Because normally when it's my shortest, it usually ends up being one of my longer ones. So I was going to do a few things different tonight, but I decided not to go that direction. But Chris reminded me, she goes, do you realize we get done at 20 till? So that was an indicator to me not to do that. So anyway, let's read this here. Then once we get done reading, we'll have a word of prayer. Verse number 14, and we're going to read down to the end of the chapter here. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Now here is the godly apparel that you and I need to have in our lives. One, we are to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. In the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this time that you've allowed us to meet together in your house to just really open up your word tonight and to see what you have for us. Lord, as you spoke to my heart, I pray that you speak to these people's heart as well. We again pray for our pastor this evening. We pray that you would be with him tomorrow. He goes through his colonoscopy. We pray that he would have no complications. We pray that he would just come through it, everything okay, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Well, we're going to jump down to verse number 16, and that verse says to rejoice evermore. And I just heard sirens. They're coming for you, Carrie. Wouldn't that be something if those people actually came in here tonight and grabbed somebody? Rejoice evermore if that was you. But I don't know why that caught my attention tonight, but it caught my attention. We are to rejoice evermore, meaning we're to be joyous about what is around us. You know, so often I see a lot of believers living in defeat. And we don't need to live in defeat because we have Jesus Christ on our side. We have him rooting for us. We have him pulling for us. As I said Sunday night, the last part of my point Sunday night, he is our advocate. He's fighting for us. And we got a lot of things going for us, but we don't step back and look at the big picture of why we are able to rejoice. I look at the fact, one of the reasons why I'm able to rejoice tonight is because I have eternity with him. You folks grateful that God saved your soul from hell to heaven and he gave you eternity? And that's something for us to be rejoiceful about. And be exuberant that you really believe that and go out and tell the world, man, this is what Christ has done for me. And I'm happy that he kept knocking on my door. I'm happy that he didn't give up on me. And I knew what I was before. And I know that I'm still in the molding process, but man, I'm so glad God's on my side fighting for me. Those are things that we need to rejoice about. Rejoice about your salvation. Second thing you need to be rejoiceful about tonight is something that we all overlook sometimes. Rejoice about your health. The health is something that we take for granted so often. One day it can ruin. You'll wake up and it's like, wow, what happened? Yesterday I was feeling great. Now today I'm not doing so great. But God gave you health, whether it be good or whether it be bad. We need to rejoice over those things. And thank God every single day that you're able to wake up and be able to breathe in this air that he has created for us and just be a time of rejoicing. I mean, how often do you wake up in the morning and say, hey, God, thank you for this day that you've given me. I know I don't deserve this day. I know I deserve something else. But God, you saw fit to get me through a nice night of sleep, and now here I am. Thank you. Now, let me use this and go about this day and allow me to brag about you even more. So be thankful not only for your salvation, but be thankful for the health that he's given you. The third thing that we need to be rejoiceful about and rejoicing evermore is rejoice about the church that you are in. Think about it. You could be in a different place right now. You could be in a church that's not preaching the gospel. You can be in a church that has a preacher that's collecting $1.6 million and doesn't even care about your soul if it goes to hell or goes to heaven. So be rejoiceful that you have a church that you can come in every Wednesday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and you're able to hear sound doctrine being preached at the church. By the way, let me just say this. Sound doctrine does not do you any good if you're not going to practice it. I've heard a lot of people say, man, that church, they preach good sound doctrine. Okay, are they practicing good sound doctrine? Are they living that life of good sound doctrine? So rejoice that you have a church that we can come and to be able to fellowship. As I was in here and I was just sitting up here at front and I was able just to hear everybody talking in the background, just laughing and shaking hands and some even hugging a neck and putting some chokeholds on some folks. You guys love each other. And those are things that we need to be rejoicing about those things. Rejoice about the fact that Christ is still preached here. And that's exciting to think about those things. Okay, so now we got eternal security, we have our health, and we got our church to rejoice about. Well, what's the fourth thing that we need to rejoice about? Well, rejoice about your finances. Well, you bring up finances out of this? Yeah, you need to rejoice about your finances. Because I've been in situations where I've never really had the money at times, but God saw fit to get me through. He saw fit to take care of those situations. I remember years ago when we first got married, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't great with money. I wasn't great with those things. And I found myself in a situation financially where I shouldn't have been in. But God brought us through those things. So I'm able to rejoice that he took care of my finances. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, I got too much money? No, you don't hear those people say that. You always hear people, I just don't have enough. It doesn't matter about how much money you have. It matters about the God that you have that gave it to you. And to be good stewards of those things. Rejoice of those things. Rejoice about the family that God has given you. You know, you can pick and choose your friends, but you cannot pick and choose your family member. Why? Because God designed them to be a gift for you. So rejoice about your family. Well, you don't understand my family. We don't get along at times. We fight and we quarrel and we have disagreements. Welcome to the world, because that's what families do. You know, you can sit there and argue with your brother and sister and go at each other, but as soon as somebody says about something about your brother or sister, guess who's going to be there? That brother or sister. And that's just the way it goes. So rejoice about the family that God has given you, because it is a gift from God. You might not like it at times, but it is a gift from God. I'm thankful tonight that I have a family that throughout the years, we haven't always gotten along because we're all bullheaded and we're stubborn. That's the German in us. And that's just what happens. But you know what? We love each other. We care for each other. We have each other's back no matter what. So I'm thankful that God has given me a family. And I rejoice about those things. And I'm happy about those things. Well, what's the other thing that we need to rejoice about? Well, this is something she might not look at, but rejoice about the Word. Rejoice about the Word that God has preserved for you, so that every time that you wake up or before you go to bed or ever how your reading schedule is, you're able to open up God's Word and read the very words that God has for you. Rejoice about the Word. The Word, I don't know about you, but it's important to me. As I said earlier, it lifted me up today just contemplating on this Scripture. And I'm rejoiceful that I'm able to have a Bible that I can read. And you know what? You know what other thing we need to rejoice about? The government has not yet come after us and said you cannot read the Bible. But I will tell you this, if they ever do come after us and say you can't read the Bible, I'm going to say, sorry, Charlie, I'm still going to read it. What do you mean? You're going to defy the authorities? The Word of God is important to me. What did Daniel do? Daniel was told not to read. What did he do? He still read. Look where it put him, in a lion's den. Well, who took care of him in a lion's den? God took care of him. So you mean you're willing to go to jail over those things, if that's what it takes? And yeah, I'll be willing to go to jail. There's other alternatives. It's not so lively. But think about it. If you go to jail, that's not really a death sentence. I mean, you can go to college. Think about that. You can become a lawyer. Most people I've heard that are in jail, they are very well educated. The guy that I spent a year talking to was very well educated because of all the material that he had. And that's just the other part of that. But anyway, rejoice evermore. Those are some things for us to rejoice about. The second thing here tonight we are to do as we put on godly apparel is we are to pray without ceasing. A lot of folks say, Chad, that's impossible to constantly pray. I mean, I work, I'm a mother, I'm a father, and I do this and I do that. But we are to be constantly praying. Do you realize you can pray without closing your eyes? I do that a lot when I'm driving. I pray a lot and I have my eyes open. God, you see what's ahead of me? Please take care of the situation. Now, I didn't see the deer coming at me a couple months ago, but God still took care of me and didn't cause us any harm. But we are to pray without ceasing. Well, what are we to pray for? Well, there's a lot of things that we can pray for tonight. One, I believe one thing that's overlooked in our lives is you need to pray for yourself spiritually. Pray for yourself spiritually. So often in our lives, we spend a lot of our times praying for health, financial needs that need to be there. And those are all things that are good and dandy. But we need to pray for our needs spiritually. Do you ever wonder why you might not see growth in your life? Is because maybe you're not praying for yourself spiritually. God, I'm lacking in this area because I don't understand what's going on. And God will reveal to you, it's because you haven't spent time with me. Pray without ceasing. Pray that for those things. Pray for yourself spiritually. Then you go on and begin to pray for others for salvation. And that's always a good thing to pray for. As a matter of fact, that's probably a never-ending list when we begin to think about those things. I know in prayer meeting, I've asked the last few times, who's got prayer for anybody for salvation? And normally when that happens, everybody draws a blank. It just, oh, he's asked a question, and it draws a blank. But in reality, we all know that we have a list so full, it's hard to name all those people that we know, that we're in contact with every single day. So after you pray for yourself spiritually, begin to pray that God would lead you to souls that you can be a light in their life so that you can just plant a little seed in there. And you might not be the one that comes along and waters it, but you can plant that seed. And somebody might come and water that. And you might even not be the one that reaps that. Someone else might come along. But pray for those things. Pray without ceasing. So we move on to the third thing. Third thing is kind of hard when you begin to think about this. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You mean if I have a bad health situation, I gotta be thankful for that? Yeah, it says in everything, give thanks. You mean if my financial situation isn't where it should be, and I'm discouraged about those things, and I don't know if I'm going to have a home over my head the next day? Yeah, pray for those. Be thankful for those things. Give thanks that you even have a roof over your head to begin with. A lot of people don't have those in their life. You go to the city of San Francisco right now, you have, I believe, over 10,000 homeless people on the streets. 10,000 homeless people. It's funny, they want to help all the illegals, but they don't want to help our own. It's crazy when you begin to think about those things. Are you going all politics on a state? No, I'm just stating the obvious. Give thanks in those areas. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're to be grateful people, but so often we're not grateful people. We're, as a matter of fact, we're the most ungrateful people at times. I've seen people go out of their way and give something to somebody, and our reaction isn't where it should be. But you don't realize the sacrifice that it took on their behalf so that you can have what they gave you. Be thankful for those things. Have a gracious attitude. You know, my attitude hasn't always been so gracious. It always hasn't been so thankful at times. But I'm still learning. I'm still in the growing stage. And I'm thankful for that. See? And everything, give thanks. I'm thankful I'm in the growing stage. But we need to give thanks. Well, who do we give thanks to? We don't give thanks to our fellow brothers and sisters around us. We give thanks to Christ Jesus, who gave us these things. Give thanks to Him. So often, again, going back to prayer, we have so often in our lives have had so many answered prayers. But when was the last time God answered a prayer and we gave thanks to Him? See, God wants to be praised. God wants to be adored by us. And we need to have a grateful attitude towards Him. God, thank you for healing my mom of her cancer. God, thank you for getting my dad through his health situation. God, thank you for allowing my dog to live another couple years. I thought he's going to be gone a couple years ago. Those are things that we need to be grateful for. You mean you pray for your dog? Not the ones I have now, but the other one I had. Pray for my dog. I will say this, not all dogs go to heaven. I tell you what, if ever I want to sit there and relax at home, there's a little noise outside. Those little yappers just, they give me a heart attack. Maybe they're the ones that send me into AFib. Jeez, those dogs. They say they're male dogs, but they shrill like a girl at times. But anyway, give thanks. Well, here we go. Let's move on to verse number 19. Quench not the Spirit. Meaning, don't put out the Spirit when the Spirit begins to work. And don't quench somebody else's Spirit either. I've seen this take place in our church. I've seen people come in and they go up and they have a conversation. Man, isn't God so good? And all of a sudden, here comes out the negativity and they begin to quench the Spirit. Don't be responsible for the one that quenches the Spirit. Don't be the one that goes around and has a killjoy attitude and wants to ruin everything. Don't be the one that overdoses on the no fun pills. Seriously, I know that sounds funny, but that's what a lot of folks do. They come to church and they OD on no fun pills, and they begin to be disgruntled people, and they begin to quench the very Spirit that is working. And God could have had something very special for that individual that day. But we have come along and we've quenched the Spirit. We not only can do that with each other that are sitting in our chairs tonight, but we can do that with the pastor as well. We can quench his Spirit. So we need to be careful in how we react to things and how we behave towards others when they come to us. And be respectful of those things. Quench not the Spirit. Don't stop it from working. Let's move on here. Despise not prophesying. Don't hate prophesying. That's the best way to describe that. And I'm not going to dwell too much on that, nor will I dwell on this next verse. But prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Verse number 22, as we look at this, this is something that is very difficult for a lot of us to understand this. But it says to abstain from all appearance of evil. And you might sit there and say, well, Chad, that's your conviction. That's what God has given you for your conviction. And the best way to put it is to tell you a little story about my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law, Kurt, which is Andrea's husband, very godly man. Wasn't always a godly person, but he's a very godly man now. Matter of fact, he's one of the best soul winners that I probably know to this day. I mean, he sends out text weekly, it seems like, when he's out soul winning. He'll send out text weekly when he's at the camp at Castle of the Pines in Pensacola and how many people come to know the Lord as their Savior. He's excited about those things. And one thing that I've noticed about Kurt is he always has tracks with him. And it's important for him to have tracks because whenever he goes anywhere, it doesn't matter where he's at, he'll go in the parking lot and he'll begin to pass out tracks. Matter of fact, the last time he was here, he passed out a track and he actually ran into an individual that used to go to church. And he didn't recognize her at that particular time. Time has come and gone, and she looked a little bit different, but he was still handing out tracts. But Kurt hasn't always been the godliest of people, and we can say that about ourselves. There's one thing that Kurt struggled with as he's growing up. There's actually a couple things that he struggled with as he's growing up. One was rock music. He was heavily involved in rock music. I can say the third thing that he struggled with as he's growing up would be funny to my siblings and my mom, but you guys wouldn't understand it. He struggled with short shorts. He wore those a lot himself. Oh, Kurt, love him. So he had a timeout. It was hard to look at Kurt when he was dating my sister because he had socks that went up to his knees and shorts that just, it was weird seeing Daisy Duke shorts on a man. But anyway, things that go through my mind. Kurt struggled with rock music, and I had a lot of conversations with him as I used to work with him, and he told me why he struggled with those things. The other thing that he struggled with was drinking as a teenager. And by the way, teenagers, if you don't think drinking's a problem, I want you to get around Kurt the next time he's here, because he can enlighten your eyes. So the Bible says to abstain from all appearance of evil. And this evil that is in Kurt's life was when he was a young person, and that is alcohol. And you're going to say, well, Chad, that's your conviction. Yeah, it's my conviction too. But he goes a step further than what I would even go. And maybe I ought to take some lessons from him. If there is a restaurant that we go to that he knows that serves alcohol, he will not step foot in there. He will not step foot in there. Why? Because that's something that he struggled with when he was younger. And the word says to abstain from all appearance of evil. That was his evil. That's something that he still battles. And he does not want to put himself into a situation to where it's going to cause him to fold. Why? Because one, he's concerned about his testimony. He's concerned about what other people see in him. And when people look at him, he wants them to see Christ. And how is people going to see Christ in you and I? When we look at this verse and we see the word abstain from all appearance of evil, man, take that in consideration. What is your thing that trips you up when you're younger? What is that one thing that Satan has a hold of? And it can go on many different things. I'm just using this as an example. But we're to abstain from all appearance of evil. And I have great respect for him. You know, I used to make fun of him through that. How wrong was I for doing those things? But abstain from all appearance of evil. I mean, you wouldn't want your son or daughter to go into some heavy metal rock concert, would you? No, why? Because you know the influences that are in there. And you know what takes place. And besides this, you would be surprised of how many people that are watching you when you're doing that very thing. I have seen people from this very church, and it's discouraged me. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, who are you going to tell me? No, I'm not going to tell you who. That's between them and God. That's between them and God. I'm not their judge. I'm not going to go after them. I'm not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can do the convicting. But to abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we need to do these things? Because you and I should not be focused on the worldly apparel. But that's what we're focused on. By the way, there are some things that we need to take a look at when it comes to worldly apparel. And we ought to take caution. We ought to be concerned with those things. I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about putting on godly apparel tonight so that you and I could better live our life for Christ. It says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And then finally, It doesn't end there, but it says, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. We need your prayers. How often do you and I really spend time for prayer for each and every single person that's in this building? I still can't get over the fact, as our pastor was in the hospital, and when he finally came through, I can never forget this. This is always going to stick with me until the day that I die. He says, Chad, where's my piece of paper at? I said, Dad, what piece of paper are you talking about? He goes, I have a list, and he's still kind of foggy. I said, a list of what? And if you guys remember, he kind of almost had to finish his sentences for him because you kind of knew what he was thinking at the time. And he says, I have a list of names that I need to have. I said, okay, Dad. And he goes, where is it? He goes, if you go back to my office, it's on my iPad, and I have a list of names. So I went back to the office, grabbed his iPad, brought it out the next day. But before I even went out there, I opened up his iPad, and I saw the list. You want to know what that list was? It's every single name of all you people. Him being on his deathbed at that time, wasn't concerned about himself, but he's concerned about you. Praying for you. I don't know about you, but that is phenomenal. And he was rejoicing because he was still alive. He was giving thanks, but he was concerned about you. Maybe he was concerned about you at that point in time because he knew I was doing the preaching. I don't know. And maybe he was concerned in those areas that I was going to steer the ship in the wrong direction. I don't know those things. But I do know this, the love that he has for his people. Brethren, pray for us. Man, I tell you what, somebody comes to your mind, you don't have to bow your knee, you don't have to close your eye. All you need to do is say, God, you put this individual on my mind. Whatever reason for, I ask that you just work on their heart and life. Give them a great day. Bless in their life and be done. Then go about your day, and you might bring somebody else to your mind to do the same thing. But what a joy it is to be prayed for. What a joy it is to be prayed for. I was having dinner tonight with Gary and Carrie. Gary led us in prayer for dinner, and he lifted me up in prayer tonight. And it almost brought me to tears. And that's not hard to do because I'm emotional. I get teary-eyed for some reason. And I do those things. But it does good to hear your name to go up before the Lord God Almighty. It's amazing as we sit around here at 5:15 on Sunday nights, to hear your name called out all over the auditorium. All over the auditorium. Every time I look at Heather and Jade, I think of their mom. And their mom's not doing the greatest. And when I think of Heather and Jade, I got to take time to pray for their mom. Why? Because she means something to them. And they mean something to me. Many of you folks have never met their mom. I've met their mom. What a sweet, lovely lady she is. And I encourage you, hey, pray for her mom tonight. They would appreciate that. Say, I don't really know what to pray for. It doesn't matter. God knows. God knows her needs. And so just lift her up tonight. Well, I don't really know her name. Just say, God, pray for Heather and Jade's mom. He knows. It's amazing about those things. You don't even have to say the name. He knows who you're talking about. Have you ever gotten a prayer and say, hey, God, this is me, Chad Springer? You don't have to do that because he knows who I am. The second I open my mouth, he knows that it's me calling upon him. You know, it's an amazing thing. I don't get no busy signal. He's always there. I don't get an operator. He's right there. He's listening. When I'm done, he hangs up. Okay. Pray for individuals tonight. Brethren, pray for us. Then greet all the brother with a holy kiss. Now, I know that we're supposed to practice things in the Bible, but we're not going to practice kissing people. I like Doc's analogy. His holy kiss is a hug. And I agree with that. And we need to be guarding ourselves. But I enjoy hugging Doc and Dee. I really do. And that's their kiss from them to me. And it comforts me. It does. I enjoy hugging my mom. I enjoy hugging my father. It's hard hugging my dad at times. He's a stiff man. I got to understand, we really didn't hug each other growing up, so it's kind of awkward. You go, don't know which way to go. I enjoy that. As a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago when I was in the hospital for my procedure, you know, he was up there, and he just passed me on the arm. You'll be okay. That's a hug. That's a kiss. And I appreciate that. I was preaching in Sioux City many years ago. It's been a long time, actually. It was for a youth rally, their Valentine banquet. And you guys know Pastor. He's just not that, come here. He's not like that. And I'm not either. But I'll never forget this kiss, this type of a kiss that I got from him. He didn't say a word to me. He just walks up, squeezes my elbow. I still feel that squeeze on occasion. Greet each other with a holy kiss. And it's amazing. I lost the rest of where I'm at. I think it died on me. But anyway, as we close here tonight, remember the godly apparel that you and I need to put on for our lives. Because we need to realize we're not representatives of ourselves. We're not representatives of this world. We're representatives of Christ Jesus and his kingdom to come. And you and I have a very important job and a very important task to fulfill. And so this list of apparel that you and I are to put on, it might seem impossible at times. And it is sometimes. It seems that way. It seems hard to rejoice because of the circumstance that you're in. It seems hard to be praying all the time because you're upset at what's going on. It seems hard to be so thankful for everything. But remember this, you serve a God who's far greater than anybody you can ever imagine. And he's there for you. He created you. As I said Sunday night, he knitted you in your mother's womb. He knew you before you even formed. What a great God that we serve. And he's at our beckoning call when you think about those things. So be aware of where you are because you're representing Jesus Christ. Put on that godly apparel that you should be desiring, I should be desiring in my life. Well, I made a liar out of myself. I said I wouldn't be long, and I'm not long. It's still not 8 o'clock yet. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll go from there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for your word. Lord, I just want to thank you for the time that you allowed me to stand behind this pulpit once again and be able to teach your word. Bless these folks as we leave from here, and we ask it in your name. Amen.